If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the rightstuff.biz.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoa on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors, we have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you. Hello and welcome to The Daily Show 1104.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Apparently, Mike, we were wrong about something. The Odyssey shutdown is actually kind of serious. Like, they literally have to...
Oh, okay.
They actually have to close it up or sell it. Like, I thought, like, oh, like, here go the online rightoids overreacting to, like, the library lawsuit.
But, yeah, that... I
so guess that's going to be a big problem.
The lawsuit ended, and I'm sure that's...
What?
That makes sense. I'm sure it's fucking revenge. It's just literally... Here's a YouTube alternative. It works. It's nice. It looks nice. It functions intuitively. And
I love how they can't just cope with the fact that it has no like viewership. And no one uses it except there's like a few hundred people who use that site. It's crazy.
Well, they're worried.
That's enough.
Change.
Oh yeah, Alex is wearing. I don't know why. Like our Halloween show is Monday. But you're dressed up like an earlobe anyway. It's like a stretched out red, bright red earlobe.
I'm trying to get high off of these Chinese chemical fumes.
Oh, the off-gassing. Everybody loves off-gassing. Off-gassing is the greatest.
Yeah, the off-gassing is giving me cancer right now. Can you share your screen?
I am sharing my screen.
God damn it.
I am sharing
okay,
my screen.
Okay, so, yeah.
I'll unshare
the whole thing with Odyssey.
Share it again.
It has to do with their claim.
Okay, I guess he's leaving the call. Okay, now he's back. Okay, now I will share.
Well, now your screen isn't shared.
I know, because I unshared it like I said I would. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're better.
This defies, like, oh man, the audio I had of Alex was so good. I don't know if I could ever find it again.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's basically that they were sued by the SEC over them, like the way they were using library coin, because the way that crypto is regulated.
Football conference?
Yeah. The Southeast Conference was really upset with Odyssey. and so.
All right, you have to let me just play that.
You know, honestly, it's very difficult to see past the blinding radiance of my own extremely competent professionalism.
Okay. It's true.
That's your McNabb soundbite for the day.
It's very hard for me to see past the blinding radiance of this Chinese Halloween costume mask.
Yeah, I heard that, and I downloaded it, and I'm like, this is going in my cringe compilation. That was such a good soundbite. I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. Anyway, yeah. So the Library Corporation is just going under, and they just have to sell stuff off. And bonuses. Supposedly, none of these channels are shadow banned anymore. While they're doing that, I don't know what that's all about.
Maybe no, they're probably just mad. So they're like, "Fuck you, we'll just let everything go." I'm sure that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
But they're appealing. The article I'm seeing from September 8th says they're appealing it.
Yeah, they lost.
That's,
they lost.
Oh, they lost their appeal?
Yeah, they're okay, not. So they're done. Their big long article was they're not doing it anymore. They're like, fine, whatever. So that's it. That's that. And
their penalty isn't that huge, but they were initially ordered to pay $22 million, but then that was reduced to like $110,000. But
interesting,
yeah, still, yeah. So they're being forced to sell it, and do we know what the timeline on that is?
Well, supposedly we had like up until the end of the year. So I'm opening a Substack. We'll try to take credit cards through that. Well, I'll try to get that going. That's going to be, of course, more expensive. Because while Odyssey takes a cut, Substack really wants a cut. So I'll have to look into that. The numbers I've heard are a little bit outrageous.
Get your yearlies in on Odyssey if you want to use a credit card to people out there in the audience.
I have a number of
or re-up now. Even if you still have time left, re-up now. Also subscribe if you haven't.
I have a number of things I'm working on that will make this easier forward. So I hate to take away what do they call that in the call to action? I hate to take away the urgency created by the call to action, but I am setting up a bunch of things that are going to keep this going. I don't want to out. I don't want to be out there like, quick, do it now before we lose it. Cause it's like, no, don't, that's okay. That's not what I'm saying. Working on other stuff.
Well, I'm also saying that though. I mean, I'm saying what you're saying, but I'm also saying subscribe.
Yeah. Oh, definitely subscribe.
Just subscribe. Yeah. Subscribe.
Subscribe to the only place where you're not going to hear, like, I just wish everyone would stop dying. I just think, like, the violence needs to stop. I don't care either. It's like, have you seen that? I saw fucking, like, I turn on my phone, look at Twitter, and I still get, like, bullshit. I got a Keemstar tweet about how, like, not taking a side and how you just want all, like, the deaths to stop. It's like, if you want this violence to stop in Israel, that's just the Zionist position. That's the default. Because if the violence stops, what that means is just goes back to the scenario where the Palestinians are just hostages being held by the Israeli state and they're ever encroaching settler schemes where they're stealing land and just picking out people to throw in jail and or kill because they're terrorists. So like saying, like, I just want the violence to stop just means you just want to go back to the low-level occupation and genocide. So
yes, but what's interesting about that is that people do not feel comfortable, that they don't feel comfortable taking Israel's side openly, like public, particularly social media type personalities that aren't complete and total shills and are used to like getting hate. Like Keemstar doesn't want any side. Like,
Keemstar is one of these people that's like, I want to comment on politics without commenting on it. But what you just did, Keemstar, was you gave the Zionist backup position. It's a Zionism.
Right.
Israel's side.
Now, I would say the one thing I would say about that position is like, if you can get like a flaming Zio boomer to go to like none of my business, both sides, like that's good. But if you're talking to an audience of people who would be inclined to just hate Israel and you say that, then fuck you. So, you know, my viewpoint on this is very contextual to what audience you're approaching. And since Keemstar is talking to younger people, and I mean, I don't think there's boomers in it. Maybe boomers watch them.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was trying to bring this resolution to censure Rashida Tlaib, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
You want to accuse her of being an anti-Semite or something. I was looking at comments, and even the boomers were like, could we do something other than this nonsense?
That's good.
Like, that's is good. This really what we've got going on? Like, one of them is like basically saying, is this what we have going on in Congress? Is just people starting drama with each other?
That is what it is. Yes, I would actually answer that question. And that, even before this war started, that's what it was in Congress. That's what they were reduced to. It was literally, they were like, Keemstar should just be covering like drama alert, right?
He should be trying to like host
like covering Congress. Like, he should be trying to like MTG censors like Rashida Tlaib. Yeah,
he should be trying to schedule like a boxing event where it's like, I don't know, like what's that YouTube channel you like? The Duran, like have the guys from the Duran like boxing, like I don't really like that. Peter Zeihan. Like, they should do that. Like, they should have. He should be trying to set up, like.
MPG should beat the shit out of Peter Zeihan.
Well, like, Keemstar should be like, I'm going to put, like, pro Palestinian and pro Israeli, like, media shills in the boxing ring for
no reason. I'm looking at Fox News comments on Marjorie Taylor Greene in this whole resolution. Yeah. And the very first one is, remind us how this censure resolution is helping the good people of North Georgia. MTG has no explanation for that.
It's true. It's true. Okay. Well, the answer is MPG doesn't work for the people of North Georgia.
Right.
She works for those
people of Northern Israel.
People north of Richmond.
Oh.
And south of Richmond.
I was going to say, like, north of Southern Israel or something, but
I don't know. She just works for Jews. Like, she's just a Zio show. Like, and the more MAGA tier they are, like, the more retarded. I don't know if anybody could be more of a retarded Zio shill than Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham is introducing war resolutions against Iran. Like, he's bragging about it. So, yeah. He's on TV saying that. Like, he's basically saying, like, if he's basically saying he's introducing a resolution in Congress to end the Iranian oil industry because of their sponsorship of terrorism. I mean, we bomb Iranian oil fields. That would be something that would be very helpful. Thanks, Lindsey. Thanks. It's not going to go anywhere, but it might go someplace if a larger war starts. But also, don't assume that you can hit them, dude. That's the other thing. You know, you want to fly U.S. jets over Iran, like, they can shoot back, you know. I know that's not an experience that the U.S. military is very used to, but the Iranians have air defenses. They can shoot back. You can't just willy-nilly violate their airspace and bomb them. Sorry.
Yeah, so from looking at this, yeah, this just confirms my biases. Like, the Zio shilling that is coming out of the American conservative right wing, it's just falling on deaf ears. It's falling on people who are not interested in it.
That's good. I'm really happy about that. And now there's polling that shows, like, oh, Americans generally sympathize with the Jews in this. But I was looking. So they got a Fox News polls have like 70% of Americans sympathize with Jews over the Palestinians or something like that. But if you look at all the polling in the last few weeks, it's wildly divergent. So there's a YouGov poll
that shows neurodivergent.
Yeah, that shows like 36% of Americans say they favor the Israelis, 11% say they favor Palestine, and the others like don't know or say both. So like, that is very different than a Fox News poll, and I would actually be inclined to trust a YouGov poll significantly more than a Fox News poll. Now, the other thing is that, you know, the funny thing is that the Jews aren't – like, the propaganda aimed at like, the Fox News viewing audience is absolutely retarded. Like, did you see that thing about jihadi pills, like, that are making the Hamas guys into, like, zombie-like Jew haters? Like they're flooding the Gaza Strip with jihadi pills, turning these guys into zombies out for Jewish blood. And I'm like, are you serious? Are you legitimately serious? That shit was on Fox News, a report like this. So it's really stupid.
Oh, boy, this is great. I just found a new poll. Jerusalem Post is clutching their pearls about this one. Yeah. Americans support Israel, but young adults more likely to support Hamas.
Oh, Hamas, right? Yeah, that's nice. I mean,
Respondents 24 years old, over one-fourth say that the long-term solution to the conflict is for Israel to be erased. That's encouraging. That is very encouraging. Right.
Yeah, I mean, we had the numbers already.
I agree.
You know, they can't get more than 50% of the population under 50. Like, once they hit that 50-year barrier, like, half the population is, like, again, more than half the population is against them. So there you go. So Israel's support is running on fumes. And the funniest thing about it is that the people that support them don't have very much political influence. And what political influence they have, it's already maxed out. Like, they're not going to increase in influence. It's only going to decrease, because all they can do is go and vote Republican, which they do anyway, and which is predictable that they're going to do that. So nothing changes. You're not moving the needle at all, right? Like, these boomers that like Israel are already out there voting Republican. You're not increasing that. You're not changing that with this new war. And they're slowly dying off. You've got maybe a couple more decades out of them tops, and they can't fight. They're not old enough to fight. or they're not old enough. They're too old to fight. They're too old to fight. Not that they would have fought anyway, but they're too old to fight. So they can't sign up for the army. So their support doesn't really do anything for Israel. Additionally, it might harm it because frankly, they're kind of cringy and people don't really want to be associated with them because they're cringy. Even younger right wingers, what young white right wingers, even Republicans find this stuff cringy. So it's like there's nothing like supporting Jews just isn't fucking cool, like ever on any spectrum. Like the least cool people, according to Jews, are the ones that support them are the ones that, according to them, are the least cool people. So you got a problem, Jews.
It's a problem. Wow. 48%
of these younger people side with Hamas.
They straight up say Hamas when asked. That's fucking
They don't want to label them as terrorists, and given the choice between Hamas or Israel, they're gonna, I mean, this would kind of make sense because of the culture has this sort of like idea that it's bad what Israel is doing. Like that exists as just an independent like moral construct. It's wrong to displace and commit an ethnic cleansing. These are bad things, and Israel's clearly doing those things.
They also burned through whatever sympathy they got from being real fast for like a day. They burned through that shit. Like you're now engaged in like
go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
That's what I wanted to say.
It's like everyone sees it. It's like, bruh.
Those polls that you're talking about, those are from like shortly after the attack. They've got new ones out now, and like the opinion's shifting.
Yeah. Yeah, and what people aren't liking what they're seeing. It's hard to justify. I was reading an article in Times of Israel, like, is Israel following the rules of war? And I was like, this should be the shortest article ever, like one word.
No.
No, obviously it's not. Now, they had, of course, the person that they interviewed was some Jewish woman at some Israeli Zionist Strategic Institute who was making all these excuses as to why it's okay. Oh, also, John Kirby. And this guy, John Kirby, the spokesman for the Defense Department. He cried phony tears for the Jews in Israel. He's like, the images right now, they're so hard to see. He was doing that. Yesterday, he's at a fucking briefing, and the reporters are grilling him on all like the civilians that are being killed. And he's like, look, this is war. Civilians, people are going to get hurt. Civilians are going to get hurt. I'd like to tell you something different, but that's just the hard truth of the matter. And I'm like, okay, so where's the tears, Kirby?
Yeah,
where's your tears, bud? Suddenly, no tears, no crying, no emoting, no phony. I mean, yeah. And so it's like basically he's just openly saying, yeah, Israel's just killing. I mean, the thing is, the question would be, I would be like, what is the military usefulness of what they're doing? They're like, oh, well, they've killed some Hamas commanders. I'm like, okay, so out of 6,000 people, you got what, 3-4 guys? That's what you're talking about. That's how you do Israel. That's how you do things. I mean, the other thing is, I got to read this to you guys. Let me see if I can. I want you to hear this article. I read this on Strike Mike, but I'm sure you guys didn't listen. And if people didn't listen, I'll just do it again because I always repeat the content over and over again. Okay, here we go. So this is a report. You guys should listen to this. I know you're looking at stuff. You should listen to this. This is from an October 18th article in a site called Israel Today, and it's an interview with an IDF general named Yitzhak Brick. And this is going to be extremely cathartic for you guys to hear. So Yitzhak Brick says he says he had been warning that Hamas was going to do this for a while and nobody was listening. They were very complacent. But here he says this. He says, Brick warned that the Israel Defense Forces have turned into a primarily air-based military and criticized the army leadership for its sensitivity to human losses on the ground. The current situation of the land forces is tragic. This is a quote. They are not ready for war. Emergency supplies are not available. Exercises have stopped and the battalions have not trained in years. There's no weapons training and education, and the army is not capable of carrying out an attack. The truth is that an imaginary reality has been created by the general staff and spread throughout the army. The soldiers have lost their motivation and fighting spirit in recent years, and many are not ready to go into battle. He said this on October 18th.
I would like to support that imaginary reality. Yeah, you guys are you're going to kill it, Chief. Get in there.
Yeah. Get in. So, no. But the imaginary reality he's talking about is that they can win with air power alone.
Right.
That's what he means. and that they don't have to have a good ground army, and that the people in Israel got soft. They became upper middle class people, soft people, rich people. They don't want to fight. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu's son is in Miami Beach. He's 34 years old and he's in pretty good condition. He looks, he's like, he's, you know, he's all like on the beach tanning with, you know, abs and all that shit, right? It's like, hey guy, you know, conscription in Israel goes until you're 40.
Yeah, a commentator make that same point that Israel is full of a bunch of soft people who are essentially a lot like, well, like your average soft, pudgy American these days.
They're not used to shitty body.
Soft, yeah. Zio body.
Well, the funny thing is that Benjamin Netanyahu's son seems like he's a gym bro, though, because he doesn't look like he's out of shape. He's just, I don't want to go to Israel and fight. I want to party in Miami Beach with, like, MAGA people, probably.
He's probably secular. He's probably less invested.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he doesn't. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's all about, on Twitter, he's all about, like, yeah, genocide Palestine. But, like, he's like, yeah, well, go fight, faggot. And it's actually.
He can't fight. He's just a gym bro.
When you do that.
Going to the gym doesn't mean you can do anything. It just means you can go to the gym. It's like aesthetically
pleasing.
Well,
it means he's physically fit to fucking report for duty in the army of his country. Right.
He should pass inspection.
He probably has. He's not zero.
He's not too fat to fight.
He probably has zero cardio. Yeah, he needs to work that up. Like, he probably can't run. He probably can't. He just pick things up, but he can't carry them anywhere. You know,
well, none of them can fight. But the point is, though, it's also like
just triggering.
If you're Benjamin Netanyahu, I would call my son and be like, "You've got to get back over here now, and at least pose for some fucking photo ops in an IDF uniform, because this looks bad."
That is true. That, yeah,
you know, like, they could put him in a group in a unit where he's going to be protected or something like that, not take any fire maybe. Well, it's a pretty small country. I don't know where that would be, but, like, you know, still, it's like, bruh. So there's more. Brick added that Israel's ground forces and reserve system have been consistently ignored. "We have lost the ability to field an effective army, have become a one-dimensional aerial power that cannot win a war on its own." In his view, Israel's ground forces are not ready for war. The warning follows a series of polls showing that a large portion of Israeli citizens have lost faith in their country's future. And he goes forward, "In my role as general, I have visited more than 1,400 units and spoken to tens of thousands of commanders and soldiers 3 to 4 times a week, 4 hours in each unit. I know the army on the ground better than anyone else in the IDF. I have seen soldiers who do not take care of their weapons before leaving base. No army in the world behaves like this. The soldiers carry smartphones with them everywhere. Commands are sent via WhatsApp. These phones are being tracked by the enemy."
That's awesome.
I mean, he's probably fucking right.
WhatsApp.
So, yeah, like, it's I don't know. I mean, what can you say, right? Like, this is more than anything. So he says, "What I present to you is something you will not hear from the top IDF officials. Not only do many of the commanders not know anything, but even those who do know are afraid to speak out lest they be punished. Let them show you what is going on. Share with them their problems and difficulties. It will not be the division, brigade, battalion commanders from who you will learn about the reality that exists on the field. You should learn it from the soldiers." So this is why they're not going into Gaza. And this is why I don't actually think that an invasion is like right around the corner. I did think that for several days, but at this point, I'm not sure. And it seems like they don't know what they're doing. America's over there. We're sending all kinds of advisors over there. People that the guys that planned the Fallujah battle in Iraq are over there now trying to help them figure out how to fight a battle like this. And I'm going to make one more point just because I want to hear you guys visceral react to it. I made this point on Strike and Mike, and I said it on Telegram. I'll say it one more time, which is that a lot of people thought that since the Jews have stepped up their bombings in the last few days and been killing a lot more people and the bombings have got a lot more intense, they're saying they just the last few days have been as intense as the first few days when they first started bombing. The reason for that is not because they're about to go in on the ground and, like, softening up Gaza. The reason is they just got a new delivery of bombs. Sure. And they're basically like niggers on the first of the month. Like, I'm not joking when I say that. This is how Jews are. Like, they got more bombs. They're like, oh, great, now we can drop more bombs.
Right.
Because America just gave us another load of bombs. And we're constantly sending them. We're just shipping them. They're expending so much firepower. They're going to run out of shit.
Yeah.
And we have to, like, continually airlift more and more and more bombs and missiles and all the shit they're firing. We have to re-up them constantly because they're using it all. They've dropped enough tonnage on Gaza to equal Hiroshima. So, like, that's what they're doing. And, you know, that looks pretty bad. You know, today, I think today, the President Erdogan, President of Turkey, basically said Hamas isn't a terrorist group, and we can't work with Israel, and he canceled all, like, oil and gas deals with Israel from Turkey.
Based.
Which is actually, like, again, you know, that's what he said he was doing. I don't know how much follow through there is going to be or what's actually going to happen with that, but that's bad for Israel if he actually did that. He might just be like putting them on pause or something like that. But, you know, the Jews probably, I would assume they're relying on shit from Turkey for energy because they don't have energy in their own borders. But,
but we have an oil reserve that we will just give them if they
need. Yeah, we'll give them whatever they need. Yeah.
Me and James were talking about this. The United States maintains a private fucking oil reserve just for Israel.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that too. I was actually, we were doing a show and I was trying to find that while we were recording and I gave up because I couldn't under address. But yeah, I've seen that as well.
Let's think about that. A private oil reserve for Israel, which is in a very oil-rich part of the world. Mm-hmm. So under what situation would they likely need access to that particular oil reserve? Oh, right. Some sort of war, which means that you have to load up American tankers with fuel and then send them into a hostile war zone so that Israelis can have gas. That's something we've agreed to here in the United States. That's so insane. That's fucking insane. Do we have an agreement like that with any other goddamn country?
No, and that really pokes a big, fat, giant hole in the premise that we have Israel for – that the reason for Israel is like a military outpost of the United States to grab oil in the Middle East.
Literally the opposite.
It's exactly the opposite. First of all, the United States has a ton of – we have a ton of oil on our land. We have lots of oil. We could be fine, and we have to send it to these kikes? Fuck that. And that's going to – you know, you get boomers. Yeah, that's going to raise our prices. You know, release that oil to our markets. We need some price relief. I mean, we literally should do it. Well, Israel's Strategic Oil Reserve, release it to the U.S. market today. Now, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you know, there's also like a legal obligation. You know, we've talked about this before, that America has a legal obligation by an act of Congress to provide Israel with higher tech weapons than any other country has.
Right.
Like, if a country develops some crazy new weapon, like the U.S., like, well, we're not legally obligated to find something better and give it to them. It's the law. Yep. Have to do it. No choice here. So, yeah. Now, Erdogan was doing a lot of bluster. Was it the U.N.? What was it? He basically said Hamas is a liberation army. He canceled the trip to Israel to talk to Bibi, I guess, and I think he said did he say he's going to cancel the oil shit? If he does that, I could see like America just like bombing Turkey. I don't know.
I just don't believe you can't trust those people. The Turks.
Can't trust Turks.
No.
I'm assuming people were like, "Why would he do this?"
When I hear all this stuff, I'm just like, "There's some ulterior motive that he's got going on here."
Oh, absolutely.
We'll find out some other day.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know.
People in another chat were asking me, like, why would he do this? I'm like, well, if he's just talking, if he's just running his mouth, if he just says this and cancels a trip, like, he's just raising his street cred in Turkey. Because I'm assuming the people in Turkey probably fucking hate Israel. And they probably want it dead because of the shit they're doing. So, yeah, he's probably trying to contain. He's probably got domestic political motives more than anything in saying shit like that. Which is a lot of times these Gulf states, Turkey's not a Gulf state, but these Muslim states, well, one, the Gulf states will. And some of these other Muslim or Arab countries, you know, Turkey is a Muslim country mostly, but they will say these things because they feel like they have to say. It's literally like, whoa, base. Like, that's literally what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, that is not new. Just so everyone understands, the idea of a politician going out and just like saying some shit to quell the domestic population and doing nothing, that's a tale as old as time, my friends. Yeah. It's been going on forever. And so, it's literally so people in Turkey will be like, based, and then like nothing or whatever the Turkish version of based is, whatever that is. I don't know. I don't know if they, you know. Yeah. So
I hope they have that. Everyone should have that. Your own version of based. I unironically enjoy saying it again. Like, for a while it was ironic. Now I just like saying
I haven't been a part of the language.
I haven't been responding to paywall payments with thanks. I've been responding with based, like with a bunch of bees.
Nice.
I've moved over to that. I enjoy it, unironically. We're just based.
Yeah.
Hot stuff.
So, Doug McGregor.
Yeah,
Total
Colonel.
Zionist chill guy.
Oh, yeah, he's totally required reading it, Mossad guy.
Well, even if that's true, even if that were true, that would just be for, like, tactical brilliance.
No,
although, I don't
know. It's all Zog, bud.
He is out
Everything
here
is
on
Jewish.
Twitter this morning.
If you have a thought that something's not Jewish, that's because you're Jewish.
Right. He's out here on Twitter this morning saying, apparently, Anthony Blinken is now a sitting member of the Israeli Cabinet and National Defense Council.
Which sounds like a little bit of an overstatement, but it's I guess he really truly means that in some way. Like he's not is he just being figurative and bombastic? Or?
But we got a tradition of that. We had Henry Kissinger doing things like that.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that this is correct in substance, but I highly doubt the Israeli government like officially gave him any status just because they don't. Why would you do that? You don't need to do that. I'm sure he's there in every meeting, planning everything with them, you know, and as far as this is concerned, Anthony Blinken is the president of the United States right now. Just so everyone understands
that as
like,
well.
He is in charge.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And well, then,
hey, what's up? You know, you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
What McGregor actually says is the truth of the matter is, he says, a lot of people saying we're in charge of everything that is happening in Israel. The truth of the matter is I'm wondering whether or not the Israeli leadership is in charge of everything we bring into the arena. It's like, that's much more accurate, Doug. And in fact, I'll be honest, I don't think you do wonder. I think you are letting it out as easily in a way that you think is the only way that you can say it without just getting completely shut down or even arrested for saying stuff. But no, it's the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter. Like, Jews are running United States / Israel.
Right.
There is no daylight between these things. So it's like Anthony Blinken is like, my country is getting attacked. I need to use my economic colony for resources to help my country that's being attacked. That's the relationship.
It is currently so bad that because of the political turmoil in Washington and not having a speaker, you've got individual United States states buying Israeli bonds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Fucking
like
nuts.
Debt-ridden states like
and if you think
Illinois.
States the Jew government is going to pay that back. If anything, the federal government will pay them back at some point.
So they'll probably do what they do with a lot of this stuff. They'll just defer.
Just forgive it. Yeah.
They'll defer. But, oh, we'll vote on it again next year. The next year rolls around. Yeah, we'll vote on it again next year.
Yeah, so
the only thing I'll say is I wonder if
the tweet is real. I just finally was able to pull it up, the McGregor tweet.
Oh, yeah, I've got it. I was not reading from a screenshot. I made sure it was
real
before.
I thought you were paraphrasing from memory or something. But, yeah,
no,
he's literally just saying, like, the truth of the matter is I'm wondering
this is unusual
whether or not the Israeli leadership is in charge of everything we bring into the area. That's there. That's on his account. So.
Yeah. And he's getting backup from
that's a yikes from me, bro.
I mean,
I was going to say there's also polling on the fact that Americans do not support us getting wrapped up in this shit. So I think that there is actually a little room here to say this kind of stuff because people they've had it. They don't want us to be embroiled in yet another fucking Middle Eastern conflict.
I think people are really the prospect of a potential actually like seriously huge war that a lot of fucking people could die and nukes might even be exchanged is like kind of freaking people out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I think moreover, though, we have been in the Middle East for, what, 20 years? Most of my life, we've been over there fucking around.
30.
Oh, yeah. Well, we've been in the Middle East since Israel was created.
War.
Let's be honest. Since Israel was created, we've been in the Middle East.
Well, it ramped up big time in 1990. And then, I mean, that's when the bases really started popping up everywhere, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is that, or did we already have the, I guess we must have already had the bases in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, we had bases.
Because I remember we were sending all of our stuff to Saudi Arabia in the run-up for the Iraq war.
Although, that might have been the excuse to get him in. I mean, that's another thing. That's another reason for why the Gulf War against Saddam Hussein. Well, we need to build a bunch of bases over there.
Yeah, I just don't know if we already had bases or if we just mm-hmm. or if we were just building them then. I don't know how that worked out. I just know that's what we were sending all of our hardware and people. And then that, of course, spread out all over the region. And then we remember the Richard Dreyfuss speech in WR. No one will ever fuck with us. We're surrounding Iran, which was a dumb movie, but that was kind of the plan. But we've been in there
so
forever.
You know, there's this guy on TikTok. He's like a white guy who is putting these videos out about, like, you know, Israel's in trouble because, you know, I'm a white guy and I support Palestine and I used to believe this, that, and the other. But since this conflict started, I've educated myself and I'm like, I don't believe you. You've always been an activist. Shut up. It doesn't really matter because I don't blame him for what he's doing. But the videos are kind of funny because he's saying, like, since this conflict, since October 7th, he's like, I've educated myself on this conflict. And he runs through, like, this litany of talking points. I'm like, no, you've been an activist for years. You're not fooling me. But it doesn't matter. If he wants to say that, he's getting, like, millions of views. But one of the things he mentioned in the video, which is something I hadn't thought about for a while, is he mentioned the coup, the CIA and MI6 coup against Mohammad Mossadegh in Iran in 1953. And this is the coup that brought the Shah into power, right? And then the Shah was overthrown in 1979 by the Islamic government, that current regime, right? And so I'm wondering, and now what the leftists always say is that Mossadegh was like kind of like a left nationalist who did stuff like nationalize oil infrastructure, introduce land tax and higher taxes on business and a social security program for Iranians and stuff. So all these sort of progressive socialist reforms, nationalist reforms that he was doing, things that liberals would love in America. And they're saying this is why the CIA went in and overthrew him, because he did this. And I'm like, you know, and then it was like all for oil. And then they say, like, in that, this is the problem I have with this narrative is, one, I'll bet you it's not fucking true. I'll bet you it was some Jew shit. I'll bet you it was some Jew shit, because most Arab countries have nationalized oil companies. That's not like it's not that, you know. Yeah. And they do deals with the West. And I'm sure Mossadegh would have allowed Western oil companies to go in and buy oil and call, you know, work the fields as long as his government got a cut and everything. I don't think it was because he was introducing progressive reforms into the Iranian state. I guarantee you it was because he supported Palestine or something like that. I have to look more deeply into it because it doesn't make sense to me that this would be what it was. But the reason that leftists tell this story is because it gives them a get out of jail free card on supporting the current Islamic Republic, because that current, like, theological Muslim regime that betrays women's rights and stuff. You know, in the 80s, libtards were very activated by the Iranian Revolution and how conservative and backwards from their perspective it was. That isn't really that relevant of a point of view, but I feel like that's when that talking point was cultivated. And that talking point is straight out of a Noam Chomsky playbook. So he's like, well, you know, the current government of Iran is really bad, yeah, but, you know, ultimately it's America to blame for this coup for oil again. So it keeps their oil narrative about involvement in the Middle East going, and then it also lets them, like, not just be like, well, you know, the people of Iran have chosen their government and this is what it is. It's not our business, right? Because now they can be like, well, we had a liberal government, we had a progressive government, and look, the CIA ruined it. You know, and Israel had nothing to do with it. But I doubt it. I need to do some research. I'm speculating. But I don't think that just nationalizing an oil company is a reason for the CIA to do a coup. I just don't think that's true. But, yeah.
Well, I just sort of on the subject of, we had a progressive government in there. I'm looking at – there's a really adorable tweet here from Tommy Lahren. Remember her? She tweets, how many of these, quote, holidays are celebrated in Palestine? She's got Aromatic Spectrum Awareness Week.
Yeah, you should just put that up on the screen. I saw this.
Oh, okay. LGBTQ whatever, Health Awareness Week, Transgender Day of Visibility, International Asexuality Day, International Day of Pink, Day Opposing Homophobia, Day of Silence, Lesbian Visibility Day, International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia, Agender Pride Day, Harvey Milk Day, Pansexual and Panromantic Awareness Day, entire month of June, Pride Month, Stonewall Day, International LGBTQ Plus Day, International Non-Binary People Day, International Drag Day, September 16th to 20th, Bisexual Awareness Week, Celebrate Bisexuality Day. That's the final day of the week there. Entire month of October, LGBT History Month. I wasn't aware of that one. I didn't know that we were doing that. International Lesbian Day, National Coming Out Day, Gender Fluid Visibility Week, International Pronoun Day. That's October. Oh, that was last week. We missed it. Spirit Day, like Spirit of Halloween Day, like support for LGBTQ. Asexual Awareness Week. Oh, we're in the middle of Asexual Awareness Week right now. That's from the 23rd to the 29th. And tomorrow is Intersex Awareness Day. Entire month of November, Trans Awareness Month. November 5th is Transparent Day. Wait, is that mean you can see through shit? What are they talking about? November 8th, Intersex Day of Remembrance. Transgender Awareness Week is right in the middle of Trans Awareness Month. And then Transgender Day of Remembrance, you know, I guess you're remembering all the ones that kill themselves because they're mentally ill. And so that she tweets that out and gets somebody here retweets it. What is this? Lauren Chen. I don't know who this is. She's like, shaking my head. She's like, that's not the slam dunk you think it is, Tommy. Because it's like, wait.
Well,
because I mean, like, this is like the classic, that's like the classic conservative, like, rake smash in the face. Like, I just stepped on this rake. I'm a conservative. Oh, these, like, conservatives rail against this kind of stuff usually at home, but as soon as it comes down to the backward Muslims fighting with Israel, it's like, hey, these people don't even have Trans Awareness Month, and then Trans Awareness Week is the third week of Trans Awareness Month. What's wrong with these? What's wrong with these Hamas people?
Well, she's getting ahead of herself on lib ownage,
right?
Because she's basically seeing the people out in the street for Palestine, right. And she's connecting them in her mind with the people that support that kind of shit. And she's like owning them by saying, but all you're going to do is like people that read that are going to think that you are for that shit, first of all, which effectively you are. And yes, America will nuke countries over those holidays. They will drop bombs on countries for that shit. That's true. But then it's like, it's like, yeah, nobody likes that shit. I don't know. I mean, everybody gets the blunder she made. I don't need to explain it. But I think what it was is that she was so ahead of herself trying to own libs. It's like when they go after like when they come out like the Queers for Palestine, right? Like that thing, which I don't even know if that's around anymore. But even if it is, it's retarded. And they're like, Queers for Palestine, Queers in Palestine. And they show somebody being like dragged behind a motorcycle. And I'm like, okay, again. Not exactly making the Palestinians look bad to a conservative audience. But then the problem is that these people don't really believe anything. So they're just doing like, let me own the libs by like showing that they are hypocrites. And it's like, yeah, but what do you win for that? What do you get, Tommy? When, let's say a lib comes and says, oh, you know what? You're right. Wow, that's a good point. What have you won? What have you gotten? What have you achieved? And the fact is that libs aren't even your audience. Your audience is conservatives who are going to laugh at the dumb hypocrisy of libs. But when you show them how out of fucking hand this stupid faggot ideology is in America, and then you also tell them that like they don't have that in Palestine, well, you know, you're probably gonna be doing a little bit more demoralization than you intend.
Yeah,
and it's like why should people fight for countries that have holidays like that? Well, the fact is that they shouldn't, and they don't. They don't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm looking at an opinion piece with a really hilarious title. Jews fought hard for civil rights, but now black activists have abandoned them. It's like, we did all this work for you. You stupid niggers, you're supposed to support us.
Right. Well, yeah, well, there's...
It's just like, it's because when you got... That's just like black guy, like civil rights activists is just another spinning plate they've got up, and they have so many spinning plates they can't keep them all up. They're all gonna fall.
Yeah.
One day. I mean, that's just what it is.
America doesn't make any sense. Like people, like when you do, I said this in my last speech. I said, you know, when libs and cons play hypocrisy bingo with each other, like everyone's bingo card is full.
Yeah.
Because like everyone's constantly calling bingo because it's like everybody's a hypocrite. Like all of them are. Like they're all, and the reason is because we don't have an organic government. We don't have an organic country. We don't have a population that has like a majority base of support behind a general idea of the kind of country we want. That doesn't exist. That did used to exist, and that's been deliberately destroyed by Jews. And so now everybody's a fucking basket case, and politicians are just only working for Jews and inventing stories for everything else. So nothing makes sense. And frankly, no one else is going to tell you this but us. It's just true. Everyone else tries to chime in, but then either they don't know what they're talking about or they have to dance around the truth. So they end up telling a lie and then they make it okay by saying, well, I'm telling some of the truth. I'm getting some of it out. I'm squeezing and squeaking some of it out. And it's like, well, you know, I mean, Doug McGregor, you know, I'll give him credit. He actually finally went out and basically said, yeah. I mean, he doesn't actually say Blinken's an official member or anything. He's a sitting member of the Israeli Cabinet and National Defense Council. And that's probably effectively true because I'm sure every time they meet, Blinken is in that meeting. I mean, is that guy in America? Has he come back or is he just over there still? And doesn't matter because he could sit in on any meeting via Zoom anyway, so whatever. It'd be crazy to Zoom bomb one of those meetings.
Jesus, this opinion piece is a lot.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Sudden Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
A lot of fun. Message sent. Jewish lives don't matter. Agree. Yeah.
Just agree. Like agree and amplify this shit.
I agree.
Just agree and amplify.
Oh man, this was written by Phil Boaz.
Yeah.
It's like what do you expect, Jews?
What paper?
Like, how did you
in?
Think this was supposed to work? How did you think this was supposed to work? Like, you use Black Lives Matter against white Americans, and then you think that what? These are your golems now that you can use against Arabs too?
Well, I think they just didn't want them to. I mean, I'm surprised that they're surprised. I think they're a bit surprised because I think what happened was that, you know, we've talked about this a lot. Like they felt like they had Palestine kind of under wraps for a while because it hadn't really been too active except for the air war, which was very small relative to what's going on now, like a few years ago. So they really had to focus on it too much, and it was an annoyance. But, you know, now suddenly this massive conflict is thrust upon them and like they haven't prepped the ground. So what they're actually doing now is, I think, could be wrong, but I think they are going to try and stand up some kind of academically respectable meaning. But, you know, what's respectable in America is just what is promoted through channels that are controlled by Jews, whether they be media, political, academic, institutional channels. And I think they're going to try and start shifting these institutions. And they're going to stand up some kind of respectable Zionist right, probably based on some of this NRX shit that they've been percolating out and with some like sort of academic, phony academic veneer to it. Because it's like we look at that stuff and we're like, that stuff's dumb. And it's been dumb for so long. But everything the left says is dumb, too. And it's been dumb for a long time. And the only reason it's taken seriously is because people are just paid to promote that shit.
Yeah.
So they could easily make like Mencius Moldbug like an endowed chair at Harvard and like stand up some kind of neo-reactionary pro-Zionist right in the academic institutions in order to throw this shit up. You know, they're calling for that right now. I don't think they'll be successful in it.
Here's what I think.
But there are Jews right now calling for that to happen. They're saying they're basically saying we need to rebuild the institutional ideology from the ground up. There are Jews right now writing editorials saying this. So anyway, sorry.
me and James were talking about this yesterday on the show that we were doing on Israel funding, but mm-hmm. I think what's happening is that you're seeing the emergence of like this new sort of centrist movement, and they're doing like anti-woke, and then they're also rolling up pro-Zionist stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's like the new construct, is you're going to be like the enlightened centrist who thinks the left has gotten out of control, and also, man, these Muslims are a big threat. We can't have these crazy jihadis running around.
Yeah.
Also, we have to stop the right from slipping into, you know, actually like acknowledging that whites have collective political interests.
And they'll probably
make sure
put
that all
figures
stops.
Like
all that
Barry
crazy
Weiss.
Got to stop the crazy stuff.
And the Weinsteins. They'll probably actually try and give them some, like Jordan Peterson, Barry Weiss, the Weinsteins, figures like this. They will try and put them out there as like legit. They'll stop like making fun of them all the time, right? Because this is another problem. Like those people were stood up as like media personalities for the Goyim to consume on like podcasts and videos on YouTube, but not taken seriously by the academic institutions. Like they weren't. They were not taken seriously by them.
Yeah.
So then as a result, like they were this intellectual dork web or something like that, which was basically like enlightened Zionist centrism, which of that I guarantee you. Yeah, they'll do that.
Yeah. And there's like a convergence. You're seeing people that are left wing that are they're moving closer to the right. And there's like this unifying trend of being outraged about Hamas and what Hamas did to the poor Israelis.
Right, and that's all performative. Nobody really gives it, unless they're Jewish. But if you're not Jewish, you know, maybe Jordan Peterson, but who knows? That guy's on so many drugs. My thing is, like, when people tell me they're super outraged, like when John Kirby fakes tears for Jew victims of Hamas and then totally coldly talks about Israel bombing the shit out of kids, like, I think you're just lying. I think you're just faking it because you know which side of the bread is buttered. Like, it's like you're just a sociopath at that point, right? Like, the guy is just a sociopath. Because there's no way that if you are actually moved by images of dead and dying and wounded people, that you wouldn't be looking at what's going on in Palestine. And there's no way you haven't seen it if you're working for the Department of Defense, and you wouldn't be like breaking down at the horror of what you're seeing. So fuck you, Kirby. And frankly, everybody else knows it. I mean, it's sanitized for people. If people are only getting the news from TV, you'd think that all that's going on in Israel is that Hamas is going around like eating children and shit like that, right? That you know, you wouldn't actually know anything, right? You know. And maybe they'd show you from the distance, like the image of a missile hitting Gaza, and you'd be like, well, that's fine because everybody that lives there is hopped up on this new drug that makes them into Jew blood desiring zombies.
A missile hitting is just like an impressive special effect, you know, like a beheaded baby right. and like a rape, like real shit.
Yeah, but they don't show that. You know, they had this thing the other day. The Jews did the Israeli government did this press conference. They invited media people only. Mm-hmm. They put together 43 minutes of what they said was the worst body cam footage from the Hamas soldiers that went into Israel. Now, first of all, I'm like, soldiers wearing body cams. That's interesting.
Mm.
First of all, that's interesting. Why did they do that? Why would Hamas do such a thing as to wear body cameras during their raid? Now, you could say, oh, so they can make their own propaganda videos. Perhaps. But I think also they know who they're fighting and they know what Jews do. And they probably wear the body cams for, frankly, the same fucking reason cops were wearing body cams after the first Black Lives Matter protests in 2014. Because they know that if it's not on camera, atrocity bullshit will be made up. And this actually is hurting the Jewish campaign. Because they showed 43 minutes, but even to the journalists, they said, we have kept out of this some of the worst things for the dignity of the people that suffered them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so then it's literally, I'm sorry, Jews, picks or it didn't happen.
Right.
Picks or it didn't happen because, like, I don't fucking believe you. You people make this shit up. You lie about this. Yes, I'm invoking the Holocaust. You people lie. The Holocaust is a lie. This shit's a lie. Show it to me. They did show some stuff that people would consider bad by many measures, but they did not show the worst stuff. They didn't show babies' heads being cut off. They didn't show women being raped until their pelvis bone was crushed. They didn't show any of this. They didn't show any evidence of rape at all, actually. They didn't show any evidence of rape at all. And then this old lady gets released by Hamas. By the way, the Jews didn't want to take these old women back.
And the reason that Hamas released them is was because they needed medical care that they couldn't provide. So they just released them for no exchange because they couldn't take care of these two old ladies.
Right.
So they gave them back to the Jews.
Yeah, this is
the
great.
Egyptians had to take them and give them to the Israelis didn't want them because they want the victim fucking propaganda. They didn't want these ladies. They take them back, and then the lady gives a press conference, and she's like, yeah, I was pretty well taken care of by Hamas. They basically took care. They told me that they were followed Islam, and they were forbidden from harming me, and so I was safe, and they fed me and gave me medicine and clothes and hygiene. We were kept everything. So, yeah, we were treated very nicely.
About the 85-year-old and the 83-year-old who got released. And I saw news headlines about, it was hell. Oh, my God, we survived hell. And then you read the article, and they talk about getting medical care.
Well,
sanitary conditions. One of them got some trouble because she was like shaking the hands of one of the.
If you read the Israeli press on this, because I was reading Times of Israel on this, and they had articles basically saying the article headline wasn't anything about. It was like the government criticizes the hospital for allowing that press conference to go forward because you've given Hamas a win. That's what the Israeli press is saying. Now the American press is pulling the quotes because what she said was. When she said it was hell, what she was talking about was the initial attack on her settlement. She said it was hell when the Palestinians initially broke through into the settlement and that it was hell actually being kidnapped and taken back. But she's like, once we got there, then we were treated well and all this stuff, right? So and then Netanyahu's office came out and the government came out and they criticized the hospital. They criticized the administrator of the hospital. And they were basically – what was funny is then like they had – of course they've got a bunch of PR experts in this country, right? So in the Times of Israel article, they're like PR experts have weighed in on like how it could have been handled better. And they were like the main problem was – this is what these Jews were saying. Like the main problem was
loss,
you put
right?
a microphone in this woman's face without knowing what she was going to say.
Yeah, I have it right here.
Yeah.
We were taken there and divided according to kibbutzim. There were people here. There were people there who took care of all the needs. We can say that to their credit. And they made sure that we will be clean and eat.
I guess this is a translator. That's why it's
That's her daughter
gave
translating.
Us pita bread.
Oh, what?
And
pita bread.
Hard cheese and some.
Hard cheese and a hot dish.
Low-fat cream cheese, and that was our and a cucumber. That was our food for the entire day.
My mom is talking about the conditions, and my mom is speaking about the time there. She's telling us about sharing food with the people. That the people, when she first arrived, they told them that they are Muslims and they're not going to hurt them. And that they shared, they ate the same food that their the Hamas was eating.
Okay.
There's a point there where they also said that Hamas had like women there to take care of their hygiene needs because they knew they wouldn't want men doing it. And so again.
I got more quotes from her. We told them no politics. She said of conversations they tried to have with their captors. We didn't answer them on politics. They talked about all kinds of things. They were very friendly to us. They took care of all of our needs. This must be said to their credit. We ate what they ate.
And the Jews are going wild about this. And, of course, in America, the media completely covered this up. They just said, she's talking about how hellish it was. I'm sure, obviously, it's not going to be pleasant for this lady, right?
Well, what they were doing is whatever. The headline would say that, and then you'd read the article, and then they would have the rest of it. Of course, boomers would skip right past
it. But Americans don't read. They only read the headline, so that's
exactly.
All you
just
need,
read the headline.
Right?
Yeah. You can see that in the comments section. Because it's like, clearly you did not read the article.
Right.
Clearly you did not.
Well, and they're also spinning up a little cover story, too. Like, she's just saying that because her husband is still in captive. So she doesn't want to say anything. Like, she wouldn't want to talk about how bad it is. Because, that's what they're going to do.
What? I mean, just at face value, 85-year-old female surviving captivity by these evil Palestinian terrorists.
Why wasn't her pelvis crushed?
It must not be that bad.
I was informed of pelvis crushing.
Yeah, right?
Does this woman already not have a pelvis? Is it not crushable? What is the problem? What is with the cucumbers? Is that what we crush pelvises with around here? Cucumbers? Cucumbers and low-fat cream cheese?
So I've got – here's what the Times of Israel was saying. I've been enjoying reading the Times of Israel because it's not – like Haaretz, which is the like just basically the New York Times, like it's basically the same exact kind of coverage. It's a little bit more like what it's still very sanitized. Definitely the English language one, but it's a little bit more close to what Jews are actually saying. Yeah. So let me see. So widespread criticism erupted in the wake of Lifshitz. Yes, her name was Lifshitz.
Yes. It's unfortunate.
Lifshitz's press conference, given her praise for Hamas and criticism of Israel, because she also attacked the Israeli government for failing to protect the people down there and saying, like, all the money you've spent on all this shit and, like, you didn't protect us. So she was doing that, too.
Hmm.
The Khan public broadcaster reported Israeli PR experts calling the decision to put Lifshitz in front of cameras a mistake.
Israel was a mistake.
It noted that it noted that the international media was now reporting on Hamas's kindness in taking care of hostage needs. In Israel Hayom, columnist Eddie Rothstein called the interview a propaganda win for Hamas. there's no doubt that Lifshitz's statement could have been managed better, tweeted Channel 12 reporter Daphna Leal, who added that Lifshitz's descriptions of her ordeal were still pretty shocking.
Like, it's wonderful. Like the gift that always, like, it never stops giving. The gift that keeps on giving is like the Jewish, like, neurotic fucking need to just never take even the most minor L. They're just flipping out the fact that, like, an old lady wasn't brutalized by her captors and now she's free. And they can't just let it go. They have to have, like, media commentary about how it could have been handled better. It's a propaganda law. They can't just be like, oh, thank goodness she was spared. They can't just be like, just like, what would a normal country at war do? Just, like, be grateful and thankful and possibly at best
they'd
just dynamic silence.
Cameras in her face, but
just dynamic silence. Just don't comment on how well she was treated. Just leave it alone so you don't take the problem. And these people have to announce that they feel very disrespected by the propaganda L that their media, like, generated out of this. And also, this woman should, like, wash her mouth and you know, and keep quiet about how good they treat her. You know, they probably have a little bit of that going on as well.
Well, here we go. So Channel 12's Dana Weiss called the press conference a disaster and noted the lack of state oversight.
This is almost the same thing as, like, I don't understand. I tell these Jews that, like, the Holocaust didn't happen. 6 million of them didn't die. Why aren't they happy? It's like, this Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it. Same thing. Like, this lady, she wasn't brutally raped and tortured.
She wasn't tortured.
She wasn't
right?
brutally
yeah,
raped
well,
and tortured by
propaganda laws, right?
Yeah.
Well, because thing. You're also like it sharply contrasts with the news reports about what Israel themselves is doing. Additionally, Israel also has been taking a lot of prisoners. This is something else. They've been snatching people out of the West Bank, hundreds of them, and they're killing them. Some of them are dying in captivity.
Yep.
So, like, they're just snatching people out of the West Bank, and some of them are getting murdered in Israeli jails. So they are not actually, even on this one thing in treatment of prisoners, they're not holding up their end of the bargain. They always talk about, the Jews always talk about how well they treat, like, that they don't have to. These are terrorists. These Palestinians we got in prison, they're terrorists. We treat them good anyway. We shouldn't have to treat our enemies like this. It's like, well, no, if you take someone prisoner, yeah, you got certain obligations under the law to treat them a certain way, pal. Sorry. Yep. But it's very interesting that this reporter is like, well, why didn't the state? This is how the Israelis think, just to understand, Americans. This Jewish woman who works for an Israeli news station is like, the state should have stage managed this. She's basically, the state should have stepped in and stage managed this for propaganda. And if it wasn't going to work out, they shouldn't have put a microphone in front of her face. That's what they're all saying. They're saying it was letting her speak without having first had, like, some kind of state propaganda minister there to make sure it fit with the message that the state is trying to put out was a fucking blunder. And now this other guy takes it so far. Tal Schneider tweeted criticism of the hospital who put Lifshitz in front of the cameras, saying the hospital wanted to get a wow factor for journalists. And from a professional point of view, this is an embarrassment for the hospital.
Yeah.
As if, like, it's like the hospital's fault. It's like, yeah, everybody who let this woman speak on camera without a official state propaganda minder fucked up. That seems to be the consensus.
That's how you know they're the good guys. That's how you know they need to be even-handed and not take a side. Because that's how they are. That's how you know.
Oh, man. She was also taking shots at Netanyahu, which, like, apparently everyone in Israel is just doing that now. Like, everyone's just constantly taking. Because the other thing is, there's another issue here, which maybe isn't so obvious. But in Israel, there's actually a big political uproar about the fact that the government doesn't seem to give a fuck about the hostages at all. Like, they're not even – they've said, like, we're not going to negotiate for them. And America's like, well, we'll negotiate for them. So America is negotiating for them through like Qatar and Egypt or whatever.
Yeah, there was another back and forth on Twitter where Hamas is claiming that Israel refused hostages. Like, no, we didn't. Like they're jumping.
Yeah, Israel didn't want these women.
Stuff. Yeah,
these two women, they didn't, because Hamas actually gave them up for, they didn't get anything in exchange. They gave them up.
They just gave them up. Like, I remember the report. Reason. I was like, you cocks, but. All right.
Well, they've still got 220 more, yeah. So they still have them. But the other thing is that they're saying that, you know, Seymour Hersh, who I don't know, he might be full of shit. He's saying at least one plan floated by the IDF, because I guess he's got contacts. I don't know. He's been pretty accurate on stuff. Maybe he's telling the truth. He's saying at least one plan floated by the IDF is like, rather than go in on the ground in Gaza, they're just flood the tunnels. And that just means they'll you know, just to destroy Hamas by like flooding the tunnels, drowning everybody, or forcing them up out of the tunnels into the, you know, into the streets, ruining their everything in the tunnels, whatever. But that just means like, fuck the hostages, they'll all die too. And that probably, one, they probably won't do that. Two, I also don't know if that would work, because I would imagine that these tunnels have some sort of flood breaks and, you know, floodgates and things like that that will prevent something like that happening, because it's pretty obvious strategy that you'd want to defend against. But in any case, So that's just being floated. They don't give a shit. And they probably killed some. Like, I'll bet you that girl, that raver chick that everyone said was dead and then it turned out she's alive, I'll bet you she's dead. Because she was in a hospital.
She's in a hospital,
like,
that got bombed.
More than half the hospitals are shut down now, right? So, yeah. I mean, look. Main thing is that about this is like the true nature of Jews is basically being revealed for the entire world to see. The true nature of Jews is being revealed. They're truly like blood.
United States particularly.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the fact that the United States actually isn't the restraining factor on Israel, which is a myth that a lot of people have promoted for a long time, that the United States is a restraining factor on Israel. It's not. We're not restraining them. We could tell them, like, look, you've got to chill with the murder of civilians, and we're not going to send you more bombs if you don't fucking relax. And we're not. We're just like, no, here's more bombs. Here's more bombs. Oh, you're just blowing up civilians at the moment? Here's more. Take more. That's a huge, massive
narrative. I've heard this narrative from people that effectively the United States is essentially kind of paying them a ransom to be less violent. And they would actually be worse if we didn't do that. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
I mean, if that's true, that doesn't really speak well of the fucking kikes in Israel. Now, on some level,
and that
I might
is the point. To be fair, when people make this point, what they're trying to say is Israel is such a piece of shit that we have to give them money so that they're less dangerous and they're less abusive than they would normally be.
Now, because I believe that on some level, Jews in America do exercise a certain amount of control over what Israel does, and they prevent it from going overboard retard. But that's because they're smarter. It's not because they're like...
It's because they're secular.
They're secular, right. Like Stryger was saying last night, he's like, the biggest problem with the Netanyahu government is that they tell you, they say out loud, they say the quiet part out loud. Like really out loud, very obnoxiously in your face out loud. And, you know, he's like, I can only assume that they just do that just because they're dumb. Because they're dumb and they feel like nothing can touch them. So they just go ahead and talk openly about like genocide and shit. On that level, I could say like, yeah, maybe some restraint is exercised, but it's not really restraint. It's just like a smarter, it's like a more intelligent, slightly more intelligent strategy. But even that doesn't seem to be prevailing because all these Jews are flipping out so badly. And, you know, it's kind of disgusting seeing kikes out here like whining and crying because like, some leftists and brown people are like protesting in the streets, like given what they're actually doing. And when you see these fucking articles that they come out with, these intellectuals, these right wing Jews, like we were reading through a selection of this stuff, like like Jews that have always been conservative are actually kind of like gloating. They're like, oh, LOL, like left, you're going to get yours now. Like you're, it's time for you. Like they're like, we purged anti-Semites from our ranks. Now it's your turn, leftists. And they're making all these arguments and stuff. And they're like, we got to rebuild our institutions. We have to. It's funny because they avoid. This one article has been going around by this guy, Konstantin Kissin, who talks about how Jews need to like rebuild a new academic institutional framework that like that doesn't have this crazy shit. He doesn't ever specify what he's talking about. And the reason is because they never had any problem with it when this shit was all aimed at whites.
Mm-hmm.
When it actually is used now to critique Israel, now suddenly it's like a brain destroying mind virus. And I'm like, the problem is you can't, you know, the lies you tell about whites are truths about yourselves. And this is a problem. This is a big problem for you. So, I don't like the idea of our movement or our ideology in any way being associated as like adjacent to Zionism. That's not fucking true. Like it's not even close. Like who here is like in favor of like bombing Indian reservations, killing all their kids with like really high powered munitions and shit like that. Like nobody in the white nationalist movement is in favor of doing something like that.
I think at this point we would be happy if whites just were accorded some level of dignity.
Yeah. Just one, like actually not treated like total fucking public pariahs, not actively discriminated against at every level of the government and institutions, and allowed to live in communities that we conform ourselves without the fucking boot of the fucking federal government coming down on us. Financial freedom would be nice as well. A number of different things.
Yeah.
Like a number of different things. There's hot stuff, policies. But right, yeah.
What if in regards to the Native American population – what if we like conspire to get like steal pieces of their land and like build giant casinos to fleece the surrounding white people and then, you know, basically use them as a front for our vice business? Mm. I'm sorry, Jews do that. I'm sorry, that's not white nationalists. Sorry.
Yeah, white Jews people don't go onto Indian reservations and just build like luxury condos for themselves and live in them and like shoot at the fucking Indians when they come around.
The Mohican Sun.
That's really not something that we do.
I love when the
Mohican. There might be like condos outside the reservation.
Well, I was just talking about casinos. But these are borders. It's the Mohican Sun Resort. What's the other one?
Last of the Mohican Suns.
Last of the Mohican Suns. I mean, who owns that? Daniel Day-Lewis? I don't know.
He's part Jewish, right?
Probably. I don't know.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. You know, that's the other thing. You can't really. I don't know if it's like totally transparent who's behind a lot of these casinos, but if the Jews aren't involved, I wouldn't believe you.
Well,
if you told me Jews weren't involved in these Native American casinos, I'd be like, yeah, you're just, that's a lie.
Did an episode of The Sopranos about that, so I'm just with them on that. Like, yeah, this like fucking, this kike was just running this casino for these Indians. It was funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a Sopranos episode about that. It was really great. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Like, real estate that speculation, development and like profiting off of like vice business. Like, yeah, I bet that's what that is. You just grab a couple of fucking featherheads and pretend that they're the chairman of the board or whatever on your thing. Well, you just do the whole bit. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what you would do.
Now what the hell else was going on? I don't know. A lot of shit's going on. It seems like it's kind of calm, even though it's not calm in Gaza, because they're getting bombed by like 1,000 bombs every day. Which again, I'm telling you, man, like I don't think there are logistic supply lines to maintain this for like an indefinite period. Well, I don't know how long they could keep it up.
The phrase of the day yesterday was tunnel warfare. There was a lot of bluster about we're just going to flood these tunnels out and we're going to this and this. Like, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to
I doubt that that's something that would work. I doubt they don't have floodgates that would protect their tunnels from a strategy like that.
Amount of water you're talking about.
They didn't think of it.
Like, you probably could, like, get the water up to their ankles. Like, it's just not going to happen.
That's the other thing. Where are you getting the water from, Jews? Yeah.
Like, the tunnel networks are so big. It's just... it's all just fantasy. Like they're just if they want to go in, they have to go in and get mowed down. And there was some video of tunnel warfare I saw that was just like it was just horrendous and it's impossible. It was basically showing that it was impossible. And I think it was an American that an American vet that had put that
they and they don't seem to actually have bombs big enough to bust the tunnels. They're deep enough, and they are fortified enough that they don't seem to even like bunker busters like him. And you'd have to and I don't know if they, again, I don't know if enough there probably aren't enough bombs in the Israeli and U.S. stockpiles. And of course, at this point, those are the same thing. And I don't think the Jews have a stockpile anymore. They just burn through whatever they've got. There probably are not enough bombs to level every structure in the Gaza Strip. That is still quite a lot of shit to take down. I'm actually surprised when I see pictures of it and there's still a lot of shit standing. I'm like, holy crap. But they just don't have the munitions to do that. And they won't have them. They don't. So that amount of munitions does not fucking exist. And I don't know how much longer they can actually keep the pace that they're doing. I don't know what kind of actual stress they're putting on the logistics supply lines here, what kind of stress they're putting on their Air Force. I don't know. I don't think they can keep it up indefinitely. This pace will slow down just because of the nature of material reality. Like the America's military industrial complex doesn't magically produce this shit out of nowhere. Like, it takes time to build this stuff. It takes a second to blow it up, but it takes time to build it and ship it. And I'm assuming that they are already putting stress on both their Air Force and on logistics supply lines. Because we are sending C-130s over there just nonstop with shit for them. So we'll see how much longer they can do it. And, you know, there's a great analysis. I talked about it on the last show. If you guys want to know where I got that from, the YouTube channel called The New Atlas. The guy is not ideologically on our side, but his analysis is good. He's actually not that far from us on this issue. He's kind of a Russia shill who's kind of like got a lefty yeah. kind of vibe to his stuff, but he does good analysis. That's where I'm getting a lot of the stuff. He also did a very good video about why their fucking story on the hospital bombing is fake. And I want to talk about this for a second, too.
If you're hearing this, then you're only getting half the show. Did you know that therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? Thanks to this censorship machine, this project can only be sustained by listeners like you, by supporters like you. So why don't you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall and show the powers that be that they can't silence the most silenced?
But we could do that next hour, because there's some funny shit.
Still running.
There's some funny shit about that, though, about the origin of that FUD, which is something I noticed, too. The exact Twitter account that that this guy Brian Berletic was criticizing in his video is something I noticed a few days ago and I thought was highly suspicious as well. And he actually laid out what was going on. So I can talk a little bit about that in the next hour if you want. The way they launder their fucking bullshit propaganda.
Mm. Oh.
But yeah, I mean, well, we've done an hour and 15 minutes, okay. So I figure we could...
Yeah.
Go right. for a break.
Yeah. We'll go for a break and we'll reset and we'll cover that.
You were listening to the Daily Sew-Up.